Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to Giant Cocktails Midweek Review, where the bases are loaded with fun, facts, and fraternal love, especially today on National Sibling Day. I'm your host, Matthew Henry, the seasoned slugger of sports banter, and joining me, as always, is my brother, the Grand Slam guru of gaiety, the Sultan of Stats, wearing a crown made entirely of game-used baseballs and wielding a scepter that's suspiciously a repurposed bat, Ben Henry. Grab your mitts and let's catch up on the latest in baseball. No brotherly bickering today, we promise. Maybe.
Maybe. Fraternal love.
You know, ChatGPT, I reminded it that it was National Sibling Day and just felt like, I guess, you know, he wanted to go there. So, you know, happy National Sibling Day, Ben.
Happy National Sibling Day to you, too. I hope that's like brotherly love in the Philadelphia style. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So on that note, Matthew, from the bottom of my heart,
boo, you suck. God, you're the worst. You should be fired. I hate you. Oh, we won the World Series. Oh, you're the best. I love you.
And then next year, after the second day after they won the World Series, they lose 3-2.
Boo, you suck. God, you're the worst.
Huh. That's my impression of a Philadelphia fan.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Booing Santa Claus and all that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Santa Claus is the worst. He's the worst.
All right. Wait, so before we get into the episode, I do want to ask you or comment. Apparently, no one cares about the fan experience, Ben.
Nobody. They saw that title and they were like, I am not clicking on that.
Folks, we had one of the worst performing episodes in years. I mean, we've been doing this as our fourth season. I can't remember how disinterested you all were about a topic as you were about the fan experience. So forget about garlic fries. We're done with that. No more talking about booze at the park. We're talking baseball today. All right. Well, Let's jump into the cocktails before we start talking baseball. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ben, I'm drinking a classic cocktail called the Gimlet. And the Gimlet is as simple as it comes. It's 2 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounce lime juice, and 3/4 ounce simple syrup. Throw that all into a shaker with ice. Give it a good shake for 10 to 12 seconds. Double strain that sucker into a chilled coupe glass. Garnish it with a lime wheel. And you've got a refreshing, sweet, tart sour that is a really, really wonderful cocktail. So that's what I'm drinking today, Ben, the good old-fashioned Gimlet. And you could do a vodka Gimlet. That's also a thing. But I am sticking with gin because I prefer it. So that's what I'm drinking today.
I mean, you could, but why would you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. All right.
So what are you drinking?
Good. Oh, right, me. Yeah, thank you for asking, Matthew. Today, I am drinking the Fitzgerald, which is making its third appearance on the show. It might be tied with the Negroni now. That means I'm drinking it all. I'm drinking it for the next 10 episodes, just so it puts the Negroni in the dust. All right, what's in the Fitzgerald? Well, I originally got the Fitzgerald recipe from my book called The 12 Bottle Bar many years ago, and it has, well, in this particular case, 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of lemon juice, 1 ounce of simple syrup, and then 2 to 3 dashes of Angostura bitters. I did 4 because I really like Angostura bitters and because I'm a bitter, bitter man. You put all of the ingredients into a shaker with ice and then you shake for 10 to 12 seconds and then you double strain that into a coupe glass. And that is how you make the Fitzgerald from the 12 Bottle Bar book.
All right.
It's one of my faves. I love this cocktail. In fact, I made a double and I'm about to finish it.
Well, folks, see, if you have a gimlet, you're not too far from a Fitzgerald. So you just swap out the lime for lemon, add some Angostura, and you've got an entirely different cocktail. So try them both out. Gimlets and Fitzgeralds, that's what we're drinking today. What are we talking about today, Ben? Well, first of all, we're going to talk about what we learned from the National Series. Some good and some definitely bad, which includes our pitching highs and lows. Yeah, I think that there was some things that we saw. We had a much anticipated debut. We will talk about that. And then we're going to talk about maybe someone who could be this year's Cy Young contender for the Giants. Then we're going to talk about runners in scoring position. Because the Giants have not been very good at that, and Ben's going to help us break that down. And then we're going to finish it with a lightning round topic of a few different various things. So let's jump into it, Ben. The National Series, we had Blake Snell leading it off. We were going to start off with a bang with Blake Snell just destroying the Nationals. And instead, he didn't even get out he didn't even get into the fourth inning. So is this something that we need to be worried about?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know, Matthew. Look, I don't know. Look, okay. I'm going to be honest with you. You know what? I said a few weeks ago that I don't want to go after somebody every single episode, and then I corrected myself. I do. I do want to go after somebody every single episode. And this episode, I'm going to go after Blake Snell. I'm going after Blake Snell today because he made me drink a Negroni when I really thought I was done. I really thought I was done, but then the Giants signed him in the last week, and because of that, I had to drink an extra Negroni. But I'm also going to go after all of the people who keep talking about how great he was and how much they wanted to sign him, because now it's those same people that are telling me that for his first 9 games last year, he stunk.
Yeah, is not what you want to hear your team is struggling.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that because you know what his ERA last year, Matthew, was 5.40 for the first 9 games.
So he was like Patrick Corbin-esque.
Yeah. Well, nobody's that bad. Let's not go that far. So my problem with Blake Snell and this scenario is that the Giants can't score 4 runs. Like today they scored, today as we record this podcast, they scored 7 runs. They hadn't scored that many runs since they were in San Diego. They had scored 4 or less runs for, I think, 8 straight games?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That means, and Blake Snell's ERA was 5.40, and our bullpen's ERA is about 5? That means that if Blake Snell does the same thing for the first 9 games this year, he's going to go 0-9 with this offense. So we got the other problem was like the first 6 batters that he faced, he went to a 3 ball count and everybody was like, well, that's the full Blake Snell experience. And I'm like, this sucks. If this is the Blake Snell experience, like this sucks. This is everybody's like, oh, we got such a bargain. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, I didn't read the fine print on Blake Snell is what I'm saying, Matthew. I did not read the fine print. And now I'm a little bit like, wait, what? Like, I don't have power windows. I have to crank start it while I'm out in the snow, even though it never snows
Sirius
here.
XM? What do you mean Sirius XM's not on my radio?
That's right. That's right. I don't get a free subscription for 90 days. Not even that.
And folks, once that 90 days ends, they hound you.
They do.
They hound you. I've gotten more phone calls from SiriusXM than anybody in the history of phone calls.
But you know what, folks? Wait them out, because they get super desperate. They will drop down to like 5 days for $5. Well, first you'll get 2 free months and then $5 a month for like a year. So if you're not getting that deal, you're getting hosed by SiriusXM. But I don't know how we end up. Why are we talking about this? Oh, right. Because Blake Snell's a used car. And he's a used car that, like, after the first 10 drives, he's great. So no, Matthew. No, I was not happy with that debut. I was not happy at all because we needed to sweep the Nationals. And instead
we did anything. We did almost the opposite of sweep.
Right, right. If it wasn't for the fact that the Nationals insist on running out one of the worst starting pitchers in recent memory. You know, Patrick Corbin, Matthew, is not just bad. He is like epically bad. He has led the league. Well, I don't know that he led the league last year, but two years ago, he led the league with 210 hits allowed. And I think earned runs allowed. And then he allowed 210 again last year. He's only okay. Still with the Nationals because they refuse to DFA guys.
Well, he's owed like $35 million this year or something ridiculous.
Right. And they're going to get their money's worth out of him. They're like, look, dude, we're going to pay you $1 million to embarrass yourself 33 times. Every time you embarrass yourself in front of God and everyone, we're going to give you $1 million. Patrick Corbin is one of the worst pitchers in baseball, and that's the only reason the Giants won today.
That's not the only reason.
It's the only reason. Because,
there's a guy named Aaron Hicks Jordan Hicks that was on the other side, right? But Jordan Hicks could be the Cy Young Award winner this year based on his first three starts.
Okay, so that's the only reason they won today, because the best pitcher in baseball was facing the worst pitcher in baseball, and that's the only way this lineup can win a game.
Fair. Yeah. No, I think that that's kind of a valid analysis of the Giants. And, and it's, this is not going to be a pretty season, Ben. 2021 was fun because we had home runs and, they were taking bases and it was everything was going well. This is going to be one of those years where we scrap out hits and we pitch deep into games and we're trying to like just scrap every win. That's what this is going to be like because that's the way this team was built. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But I, when Jordan Hicks is on the mound, I feel pretty good about it. And it's weird to say that because I think just a month ago we were wondering if he could be a legitimate starter. And now he's arguably our number one.
I think it's obvious that we had multiple Cy Young Award contenders on this roster starting out, right? Because in the National League, you had the top two vote getters from last year with Blake Snell, who actually won the award, and Logan Webb, who came in second. And then you had the young phenom, what's his name? Kyle, I've never done it before, Harrison. Of all of those guys, Jordan Hicks was probably not on the top of anybody's list as the most likely Giant to win the Cy Young Award. And now I think he's the front runner for the whole league.
Yeah. And which is exciting. I think that, that experiment and hats off to Farhan for, believing in him and making sure that we got him and allowed him to do that. I think we were worried about, there being too much starting pitching, but we'll cross that bridge when it comes, because right now we don't have enough. You never have enough. And so I think that seeing Jordan Hicks on the mound today was one of the reasons why they won. And yes, Patrick Corbin is awful and has been for his last 100 plus starts. Interesting graphic on the game today about that, where his ERA was like a run and a half more over the last 100 starts than it was his previous like 200 starts or something like that. So but, the Giants, you play who you play, and the Giants got to win. I think it's interesting that, like, going into this game today, it almost felt like a must-win game. It felt like you had to win this game, otherwise the season was over. And I think my perspective of going into tonight's podcast would have been very different. I feel relieved. I feel better about things because we got this one win, and now we're 5-8 instead of 4-9. So I don't know. Am I overreacting there? Does it feel like that to you?
No, I think this absolutely was a must-win game. If the Giants lose today to the worst pitcher in baseball, who pitches for one of the three or four worst teams in baseball, and they get swept by looking absolutely anemic at the plate, then this would have been an utter disaster. An utter disaster. No, this today was as must win of a game as you can have in game 13 as you can. Like, this was absolutely a prove it day. And I want to stress, like, I think everybody's like, oh, it feels better. They, you know, because they did steal some bases today, finally. They still haven't hit a home run at home, though. You know, they scored multiple runs. They had hits with runners in scoring position, but most of those hits were from guys who were already doing it. Love you, Nick Ahmed. And, you know, so this absolutely, if they had lost today, it would have been an utter disaster. But I think a lot of people are probably feeling relieved that they won today. But, like, think about how thin of a margin that is. This team has got problems, and it's really got to continue to turn them around. It lost a series against one of the worst teams in baseball, and it only won one game because it was facing the worst pitcher in baseball with one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. This team has got problems. And, you know, so no, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. I think, you know, and one of the main problems is not just how they're performing at the plate, but, you know, this team is supposed to be built on pitching and defense, as you said. Right. And like, these games are supposed to be painful and close, but they're supposed to be winning because they're supposed to be low scoring games. And we want Camilo Doval to be the most pivotal guy on the team. And we want everybody to be like, I can't believe he lets a runner on second base every game, which is sort of average. Right. That's an average thing for a pitcher to do. But we expect our closers to be perfect. Pitching and defense is like the 2010 team. Right. And what did Dwayne Kuiper call the 2010 team?
Torture baseball.
Right. Yeah. But right now, like, the pitching has got to be better. And I think, you know, I think one of the areas where it needs to get better is Kyle Harrison, right? And Logan Webb and Blake Snell. But like all of our starters, they need to step up.
So how to illustrate how good Jordan Hicks has been today, he allowed one run in six innings and his ERA went up.
Right. We need the rest of the Giants to be performing like that on occasion, but closer to that. I mean, Jordan Hicks has been nothing short of a revelation. If you want to read more about Jordan Hicks, then there's an excellent article about him right now on FanGraphs. It's talking about things that we already kind of knew because, like, Pavlovich had already brought it up or somebody on The Athletic about his split finger.
Yeah.
But sort of also reducing his velocity so that he gets better movement from his
sinker.
And so it's an interesting article. So if you want to read more about why Jordan Hicks is so good, go read that article on FanGraphs.
So Ben, it doesn't matter how good or bad the pitching is if you only score like one or two runs a game, right? And so obviously we have some problems with scoring runs. But you have done a deep dive, as you are wont to do when you are upset about things. And you've learned that there are some reasons why we have been scoring runs. So enlighten us, Ben.
Well, okay. So look, there's no secret. Like, we all know that the Giants haven't been scoring runs recently. And the main reason that the Giants haven't been scoring runs is because they haven't been hitting well with runners in scoring position. Now, here's one of the problems with that particular stat, is that that stat really shouldn't be any different than your normal batting average. Right? There is no such thing as a pure clutch hitter. There are no players out there that hit better when there are runners
Nick
in
Ahmed.
Scoring position.
Nick Ahmed, clutch hitter.
There are no players, except Nick Ahmed, who hit better when there are runners in scoring position than don't.
Thank you.
Over the long run, Matthew.
Okay.
Over the
right.
long run. Those players do not exist. You generally hit the same when you have runners, no runners on, or runners on first base, or versus runners in scoring position. So there is no secret to this, but that doesn't mean that people like me don't want to go and find a reason. So yes, I did go do a deep dive into the stats for the Giants. And I do want to point out that while there are people like everybody's favorite punching bag, Mike Yastrzemski, unless you like to beat up Austin Slater, in which case, you know, he's the yin to the yang. Mr. Yastrzemski, with runners in scoring position, is 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. Lamont Wade Jr., 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. Ung-Hoo Lee, 1 for 8 with no strikeouts, but he does have 3 RBIs. Patrick Bailey, 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position. Okay, so those stats aren't great, right? And those are, especially Jung-Hoo Lee and Patrick Bailey, who are hitting well outside of that, not having great luck when there are runners in scoring position. Okay, but here's the thing. The players that have had the most plate appearances with runners in scoring position are, in this order, Matt Chapman, Jorge Soler, and Tyro Estrada. Now, these stats are all before today. So these are before Wednesday. Those three players are all struggling to hit overall. Okay, so the main reason that the 2024 Giants suck at with runners in scoring position is because the batters who have that opportunity the most are stinking overall. Now,
Sterling analysis there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I do want to point out, like, Matt Chapman is having some bad luck. He's hitting the ball really, really hard, and the ball's not falling. But here's the thing. He's not that far off from his normal stats, because I don't know if you know this, Matthew, but Matt Chapman is not a historically good hitter for average. What Matt Chapman does is hit home runs and walk. And he's hit a couple of home runs, and he's definitely walked a lot, but he hasn't hit a lot of home runs recently. So Matt Chapman is typically a 240 at best hitter. And last year, while his overall season stats were not that bad, his splits, besides his first month, let me just read them to you. And again, remember, everybody should have known this before he became a Giant. In April and March of last year, he hit 384. But then in May, he hit 202. In June, he hit 200. In July, the average Matt Chapman showed up and he hit 247. But then in August, he hit 197. And September, he hit 167. So the Matt Chapman that we're seeing right now is just a continuation of that. But you know what? Despite all of that, his WAR is still positive because his defense is really effing good. So the Matt Chapman that we're getting right now, slightly below average because of bad luck, but that will probably even out as we play more games. But this is the Matt Chapman that you should expect. Great at defense, walks a little bit, and hits home runs occasionally. Okay, I'm not worried about him. His numbers will even out. The people I am worried about are the guys who look a little bit lost and are way off their normal stats, and that's Jorge Soler and especially Tyro Estrada. Tyro Estrada looks lost out there, and looking at his stats, he is swinging and missing at way more pitches than he normally does. And to his detriment, a pitch that he usually mashes, the sinker, he's not mashing, and he's also getting it quite a bit less because everybody knows he kills the sinker. And so, like, at the end of the day, the reason why the Giants aren't hitting with runners in scoring position is because the players that are struggling overall are the ones who are getting the most opportunities with runners in scoring position. So maybe you need to do something in the short term to shake up the lineup, which is what I think we saw a little bit on Wednesday. Although it is interesting that we saw Soler, Estrada, and Chapman still in that lineup. I think that tells you a lot about Bob Melvin.
Yeah, day game after a night game, still wanting to give those guys a shot to right wrongs and to get right. And, you know, so we saw that. I thought today was interesting in that our 8 and 9 hitters were our most prolific hitters. And which has been also one of the things, we've had a black hole in the 7, 8, and 9 spots for the last 10 games or so. So I feel like there were some good things that came out of today, particularly Tyler Fitzgerald and Nick Ahmed, the clutch Nick Ahmed.
Best free agent of the offseason, baby.
But maybe this leads us into a lightning round, Ben, as we wrap this up, because I think there's some things that we can cover in that.
It's time for a lightning round.
God, stop it. I forgot you were even here. Bob, the worst.
All right, Bob. We're doing it. Okay, Ben. So speaking of Jorge Soler, he's 2 for his last 22.
Yeah,
going
I've noticed.
Before Wednesday. And what if he has a Conforto / Haniger / 2023 type season?
Then Wilmer will play a lot more, I guess.
Do you think so, though? Because he's only a DH. He has no other value than hitting.
I mean, he has to play more. Like, Wilmer has to. Look, I want to see more Wilmer whatever. So we're going to see a lot more Lamont Wade Jr. in the outfield, I think, to see more Wilmer. I think if Jorge Soler really starts to struggle after, it's going to take a while, 2 to 3 months. But yeah, I think we would see him play less. But no, he's going to be on the roster for a while. Like, he's here to stay for 2024.
He's here. Yeah, he's definitely going to be here all year.
Because Giants fans like me didn't want the 1+1ers. Right?
Right.
And so we wanted long-term contracts. So that's what we got. Be careful what you wish for, I guess.
But I think it's also interesting that Soler was the one player that wasn't really on pundits and fans' radar when they signed him. He seemed to be the one that had the least fit with the Giants. And we're seeing that now, because Soler struggling means that there's no place for Flores. And so there's just, we don't have as much flexibility with Soler on the team.
It was an awkward signing. I still don't quite fully understand it. And you know what? He's like 4 or 5 home runs away from me forgetting about it. But right now it's super obvious, because he really is blocking the guy who's probably our second best hitter on the team right now. And he's not playing.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a lightning round.
We're on a lightning round. Okay. So next one. So Tyler Fitzgerald had a big game today. Came into the game without any hits on the season and doubled his, and now is hitting .500 for the season. Showed us a little bit why he's on the roster, right? He played center field today, stole a couple of bags, although one of them was on a pickoff. But my question for you is, as we've been searching for offense, and some of the fans on social media have been calling for Marco Luciano, would you swap Fitzgerald for Luciano at this point?
No, one, because no. I want to see more out of Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald hasn't really been given an opportunity. I think Fitzgerald should play tomorrow. Fitzgerald had a great day today, so he should play again tomorrow. Now, he's a super sub who can play 7 positions, so you should be able to find a place to put him. You know, he should be able to play third base.
He should be able to play second base.
Right, because
Tyro Estrada hasn't gotten a day off, if I recall.
I don't know that he's had an inning off. Yeah. I think Tyro
We don't even know who the backup second baseman is. I assume it's Fitzgerald.
It must be. It's either him or Ahmed.
I would agree. I wasn't really sold on Fitzgerald as a major leaguer. I felt like he was more of those quadruple A kind of guys that, could have been good or could be good. He's grown on me, especially after today and seeing his athleticism. I think it was a real big impact on today's game. And if they can keep his athleticism on there, on the base pass, putting pressure on the pitchers, on the catchers, I think that he could be a really good, useful weapon for the Giants. Okay, one last question on the lightning round, Ben. Why did you say that Blake Snell would be ready at the start of the season when he clearly wasn't?
Well, Matthew, I don't really think about things very closely. I don't really rely on logic. I'm just a head in the clouds, kind of rose-colored glass-wearing optimist. And, just because he was pitching to junior college players, and I hear now high schoolers, that I felt like that was good enough. I mean, Major League Baseball players versus high schoolers, those are the same thing. And that's why I thought it, because I'm an idiot.
Oh, okay. I feel like you're projecting a little bit there.
Tit for tat.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, you know, I was wrong, folks. I was wrong. Blake Snell clearly wasn't ready at the start of the season. I don't think he was ready in the 13th game of the season. So hopefully he will work himself into shape and we'll see the Blake Snell that we all expected to see. So coming up next, we are traveling to Florida. The next three games before our next episode will be the Tampa Bay Rays, who are 7-6. Player to watch, shortstop Jose Caballero is hitting .351 with an 11-game on-base streak. Randy Arozarena, maybe their most popular player, is struggling. He's batting .217 to start the season. And most interestingly, and maybe the most important for our Giants offense, is that the Rays pitching is dead last in ERA plus in the majors with a 72. The Giants are 25th, by the way, with an ERA plus of 84. But hey, you know, if there's a team that you're going to get healthy with offensively, it could be the Rays, who have been struggling all season long. So look for that.
And that brings us to the end of today's show, folks. I'm supposed to say something about social media, but I don't really like social media. But you should like us. And follow us on the Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, and Threads. And if you can, it would be so kind of you to rate and review us on your podcasting platform of choice, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube, where you can follow us and like all of our posts. And on that note, we will see you all next Monday after the Giants play those lowly Rays and probably go 1-2. Until then, Matthew, cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Ben. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Okay, so go do that. But we got to move on to the next topic, yeah. And I'm going to segue us into that by saying that
I was segueing us into it.
All right. Well, I'm supposed to be driving the ship.
No, his ERA went up. We talked about him 2 points ago.
Did he just go? I will wait for him to come back.
All right. Segue us in.